Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Runner's World podcast, the weekly podcast bringing you all the latest running news, views and interviews. I'm Rick Pearson, the Runner's World section editor, and I'm here with the editor-in-chief, Andy Dixon. Andy, what have we got coming up on this week's episode?
This week we're speaking with the amazing Jimmy Watkins. In his younger days, Jimmy represented Great Britain at the 800 metres, but gave it up for a career as a rock musician. He's now back running again. He says he's learned some important lessons along the way, and is looking forward to sharing them.
Yeah, looking forward to speaking with Jimmy. I've been following him a little bit on Instagram and Twitter, and he creates these very funny and very honest videos about his training and his life. And he's created something called Rock and Roll Running.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's his own brand of kind of running with soul, I think. So it'd be interesting to hear a little bit more about what that is and his own kind of running journey. Let's welcome now our guest of the week.
Guest of the week. Guest of the week, sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Well, our guest this week combines running and rock and roll. Jimmy Watkins represented Great Britain at the 800 metres before pursuing a career as a rock musician. Having returned to running, he recently ran 34:38 at the Cardiff 10K and says he's fallen back in love with the sport. Jimmy, when I talked to you before, you said you were going to try and find a deserted chapel to speak with us in. Is this where you are?
I'm not. I'm in a deserted car.
Near enough.
The chapel was haunted, so I came to a car. I've never heard of a haunted car, so I figured I'd be okay.
You're going to be safe.
Yes.
Let's start at the beginning. Some people are inspired to run by a parent or an athlete, but you were inspired to run by a locomotive. Tell us more.
Yeah, it's where I grew up in Troakie in the Rhondda, there used to be, it's turned into a supermarket now, but there used to be a load of playing fields that ran alongside the railway line.
Right.
And we used to just race. Every time a train came through, which was like every 15 minutes, we'd race it. And that was, I beat all my friends, and that was the only thing I couldn't beat was the train.
You might not have beaten that train, but you did get rather fast, didn't you? I mean, what would you say was the kind of your professional running highlight?
Probably, I mean, the obvious highlight would have been the final of the World Indoor 800 metres out in Moscow. That's definitely, like, if I'm going to talk to someone about running, that's the thing I'll mention. But, like, a personal highlight was there was one particular race in Kaunas in Lithuania where it was just one of those days where I just ran and it felt effortless, you know? I front run the whole race and it felt effortless. That's my personal highlight. Because that's kind of, for me, that was what all the training was for, to have a run like that. But when I talk to other people, you've got to drop in the fact you got to a world championship final. you just drop that in there. Like, you know, I had Paul McCartney playing bass in the song. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So despite that, you had some successes that you've spoken about, you grew out of love with running. Why was that?
I don't know, it made sense to me at the time. As I was going through all the emotions, it made sense. But looking back on it now, I think a lot of it was a massive overreaction. Maybe like just youthful stubbornness. Maybe I just wasn't getting my own way, and that was my way of reacting, really, was to like walk away from the sport. But there was definitely a sense of kind of being controlled, or people trying to control you. That bothered me a little bit, because I always saw running as like just like a form of self-expression, and just other people trying to put a limit on that, put a cap on that, just bothered me a little bit. So I think that and it just as you get better, the sport just became a bit more strict, a bit more regimented. This is what you have to follow. And that was a bit of a turn off for me. I was like 24 years old. I just wanted to have a good time.
Is that when kind of when music took over then, Jimmy, when you were about 24, and did it in some ways replace the thrill of racing with, you know, with performing?
Yeah, it was kind of, I've always been into music anyway. And I was kind of, I spent a lot of downtime as an athlete, a lot of time at home just relaxing between sessions. And I've never been into like playing computer games or really watching TV. So yeah. I spent that time playing guitar, like first of all, learning the guitar. Then I worked out I couldn't play other people's songs. I still can't do it. So I just started writing my own songs, and it kind of, I just became like, I didn't become obsessed with it. It was just like a world that just opened up to me, and kind of, it was enticing me. It was like, this is a world with no limits, no real rules. If you want to sing about, I don't know, if you want to sing about being abducted by aliens, you can do it. No one's going to tell you off for it.
And yeah, right.
It was just so appealing compared to wake up and have an iron rich breakfast, go for a 10-mile run nice and easy and watch your heart rate. It was like, it was totally different worlds. And because I was young, I just got excited by the one with no limits and no rules, basically.
But you've enjoyed some success with this, Jim, as well. And it isn't like a kind of, you know, someone goes into a band and it's a hobby. Like, this was, you've toured, you've had like some hits.
Yeah. We did, we toured America, we toured Australia, even though there's only like 4 places to go in Australia. we toured like Europe, played Reading and Leeds Festival. We won Welsh Album of the Year in 2012.
Amazing.
I think we beat the Manic Street Preachers. I don't know if they won the year before, but you know, up against bands that I loved as a kid. So we definitely had some success. Absolutely. This was all with a band called Future of the Left.
Oh, I remember. I saw Future of the Left once. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, in London, actually. I'm not sure. I think it might have been just before you joined. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe like 2008 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that was before me. I think I was 2010 I joined. So, I mean, they were my favourite band. So, it was just mad just being asked to join your favourite band. So that was like another kind of dream come true as well.
And when you were, you're now in the kind of rock and roll lifestyle, did you keep up running while you were on tour, or did it just completely fall away to the side?
You start a tour and you run on the first day. And you think, I'm going to keep this up, and then that would be pretty much it. You probably run on the last day because you know you were going back home to see everybody. So
right. You
kid yourself that one more run would make you look healthy, make it look like you haven't been sleeping on floors and drinking beer. So you'd probably start the tour with a run and end the tour with a run, and that'd be about it.
How long were these tours?
A couple of weeks. I think like American one was maybe 3 weeks or something.
Right.
European one's usually about 2 weeks. UK went about 2 weeks as well, so a couple of weeks at a time.
Yeah, and you kind of fell out of shape, I guess, Jimmy, with that, right? I mean, it's understandable with that kind of not really running. How out of shape did you get, and how did that make you feel?
I've lost 5 stone this year.
Oh my God, incredible.
And I don't even think, when I started in January, I don't even think that was the heaviest I've been. I joined the gym. And I was like going to the gym a little bit. I wasn't running, but I was doing some stuff in the gym. So I definitely had lost a little bit of weight. So I felt like the human equivalent of a town centre when a shopping centre opens up a mile away. I felt like that.
Great metaphor.
I felt like all these abandoned doorways and haunted and terrified looking seagulls and stuff. That's how I felt.
Was there one particular moment when you thought, right, I've got to get running again?
It was two things, basically. One thing was like I started seeing a physio because I was getting like I was just aching all the time. So I saw this physio and we were talking about like, he's like, what have you done sport-wise before? And I explained to him. And then he said, oh, you must have loads of stuff at home, like pictures. And I was like, I haven't got anything in my house about running. I've got nothing there.
Right.
And he was like, well, stick a picture up. At least put a picture up. So for my birthday, my wife got me a framed photo of the start line from the World Indoor Champs. And then there's like a really cool photo where I'm going through one of the laps. And I'm in the front. So it looks like I'm winning it. It looks like I'm winning it for a second. And I didn't know my wife when I was an athlete. I met her through music. And So she was like, that, you know, it was cool for her to have that in the house. It was cool for me to have it. It was cool for our little boy to see it.
For sure,
he recognised it was me. I put a photo of it on Facebook, and someone sent me a link to the video of the race, of the World Indoor Final, and I'd never seen it. I'd run in it, but I'd never seen it, right? And it was the first time I'd watched it, and it was nothing like I remember. You just created your own little fiction in your head, and I was like, this is not how I remember this race happening. This is much more exciting, and I felt proud of it, you know?
A bit less painful as well.
Yeah, a lot less painful. So I showed it to my wife, and it's a little bit where the camera's on me, and they introduce me to the crowd, and I do this smile. I just smile and do a wave, and she's like, "Ah, that is still you. I can see that person there is still inside you now."
Mm.
And all of a sudden, it seemed to me I hadn't put all his weight on. That wasn't the difference between me now and then. It wasn't the weight. It was that I just accumulated all these layers, all these this baggage, and I hadn't been looking after myself. And at that moment, I realised it was something that was easier to do. It wasn't just about losing weight. It was about just working a way to get back to how happy, how fresh, and how kind of youthful I felt then.
Yeah.
And it just felt like I'd accumulated all these kind of negative experiences, and they were just all on top of me, like a weird moss or something. Mm. That was the turning point. Just my wife saying, "He is like Jimmy 2006 is still inside Jimmy 2018. And I thought,
wants to break out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I put Queen on there, and I want to break free of that.
So what were the first few runs like when you started up again?
Do you know what? So that was at the end of October. So at the end of October, I made up my mind I was going to get fit. But I didn't start straight away. I kind of wanted to spend another couple of months with unhealthy, slightly unhappy, overweight Jimmy. I wanted to spend some time with him, because I was like, I'm going to get rid of you forever, but I'm not horrible. I'm going to spend some time with you and find some good points in you, and I'm gonna, you can have a proper send off. So we celebrated Christmas together, me and my useless self. We had a good Christmas together. And then New Year's Day, I was like, right, I left it to the last minute, 10 o'clock at night. I said, it's been good knowing you. I'm going to get rid of you now. And that's how I saw it. I just saw it as I felt like I was on a leaking rowing boat, and Jimmy 2006 was this lovely island in the distance. And I was on my way there. I was going there, and it was going to be choppy and rough, but I knew eventually it'd calmer waters, and I'd get there in the end. So I didn't compare myself to how I used to run. Mm. I just saw it. I know it's a cliche, but I really just saw it as a journey.
Yeah. I think it's massively inspiring. You think that, and now what? So now we're looking at 9 months on from then.
Yeah.
And you've run 34:38 for a 10K.
Yeah, yesterday.
I mean, it's just amazing. That's an absolutely great time. Obviously, you've got a lot of pedigree, but I mean, that's a remarkable turnaround. You must be really proud of that.
Apart from when I crossed the line, I was so tired and dehydrated, I did a spit and nothing came out my mouth. once I got over the shock of that, I started feeling really happy.
Oh, damn.
And it was, I'm pretty sure it's a PB. I never really raced a 10K back in the day, but we certainly did 10K tempos, and we'd all be running in a group, and it would be hard. And I remember doing one years ago, 2006, 2007, and I ran a 36 minute. And so, I'd done a 34, and I felt okay doing it as well, which is mad.
Yeah.
Mm. I felt nice and relaxed all the way around.
And how did you celebrate last night?
Oh, I cooked 30 pizzas at the 2-year-old's birthday party. That was extreme. That was wild for me. I've knocked the booze on the head and everything, so.
So you've gone completely kind of the athlete lifestyle in some senses.
On paper, but definitely mentally, I'm not an athlete.
has your kind of return to running, has it felt easy, or have there been kind of difficult parts to it?
The first 2 months were difficult, only because I was running everything as hard as I could, because I thought that was the best way to do it. And looking back at my training diary now is insane, because my first run, it says 10 o'clock, went out for a 5K, dressed up like I was someone walking a dog without a dog, in case I had to stop, heel striking beautifully. And I'm looking at it going, when did I ever think it was okay to heel strike? Like, where has that come from? So I kind of realised I don't know anything about running. Now I'm older, I really don't know anything about running. So I just got like a couple of books from the library, bought a few running books, read about it and kind of taught myself. And one of the things I learned was to slow it right down. And that has just made it so much easier. Running slower is just, I run slow 5 times a week and I run fast 2 times a week.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's just been, I've run with loads of injuries. And I know if I was running hard, I would have had to stop running. But I've just run through so many niggles and stuff. It's been hard and easy at the same time, because the pain has been hard, but each run itself has been, you know, has been relaxing and enjoyable.
And you've been chronicling a lot of this stuff on your Instagram page, Jimmy, as well. And lots of these really funny, really honest videos. Has that been an enjoyable process, kind of sharing this online? And is there a kind of message that you're trying to get out through your return to running?
Yeah, it's been strange, because for the past 10 years, I've been trying to connect with as many people as possible through music, and trying to not going out the way to write stuff to connect with people, but hoping that every time you put a song out, people pick up on it and they'll enjoy it. And it's been okay. You know, it's okay. It's grabbed the attention of maybe like 5 people on the internet. But just with this, it's like, there's no cost involved. I'm not booking a studio or anything. I'm not, you know, I've just bought a pair of daps and I've just run and I've just chatted rubbish. And I've just put it out there and it was instant. It was like grabbing people's attention and not attention, but people were relating to it almost immediately after the first week. And it was kind of like that blew my mind a bit. I remember saying to my mates, like, I've spent so long like trying to write the best pop song ever or an amazing chorus. And I said, all of a sudden, I've done a run and I've just mentioned that I found it hard to run fast past a bin full of dog mess because it was smelling so bad. And I've got like 50 comments or something.
Yeah.
So it's been that connection that's kept me going, because I think I grew up doing Britpop, and you grew up at a time where music you felt was changing people's lives for the better. And I tried out my own music. I don't know, maybe like 1 or 2 people know the lyrics. But just with that, with the running, I could see it was affecting people and helping them. And it just dragged me along with them, really. You know, they motivate me as much as I motivate them now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You also mentioned that for you, running is a creative thing, a kind of performance. How, can you just explain a bit more about that? Because I think a lot of people wouldn't associate running with being a creative act necessarily.
Yeah, I read something that, again, like, I think you know, like, there's always a conflict between science and art, and people are like, oh, science will tell you where the atoms are going through a rose, but poetry will explain the rose. Science ruins it.
Mm.
But I read, like, a little scientific study, I don't know where I picked it up, but about how when you get tired and you're running, just let your feet or your technique take over. Don't worry about keeping your form, because sometimes running tired and with, like, irregular footfalls and irregular landing is better for you. And I was like, that's quite cool. That's like playing like a jazz riff or something. Just if you just make it up as you go along, you keep on going. But it's probably better for you. So, because I was slowing the running right down and teaching myself to run again, it felt like I was kind of learning in terms of music. I was like learning the scales again. I was learning the basics, and I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed experimenting out running. I'd try and run just on my toes for a bit. Then for a laugh, I'd heel strike to see how weird it felt. And it just felt like you were learning all these little scales and things. And then when it comes to a race, like yesterday, it just comes together beautifully. And it just feels like a little performance. It was going through my head, like I was getting tired and I was thinking, like, don't worry about keeping the perfect technique. Just how your body wants to run, just go with it. And I've seen some photos, you know, they tag you in photos and they look horrific. They look horrific, right? But I just remember thinking, I know I'm falling to pieces, but I feel great doing it. I feel like I'm just running how my body needs to run now. And to me, that's being creative and just like a performance, and a horrific performance. But it's, you know, I don't know, it feels creative to me.
Yeah. You've talked also about rock and roll running, Jimmy. And I wondered if you could tell us maybe a few of the commandments of rock and roll running. If anyone's interested in running like a rock and roller, how do you go about it?
All right. The number one commandment of rock and roll running, right, is get ready to go at any moment.
Right.
At any moment, right? It could be, like, my wife could be, she's got an hour before she goes to work, and suddenly our two-year-old boy goes to sleep. It's like, right, you know what, I'm good to go, and just get your kit on and go. You don't have to prepare yourself. You just get out and just take it easy, build into it. It's like a gig. I mentioned to someone before that, you've got a little niggle you've got can be like someone in the crowd who looks like they're not enjoying your band. And just entertain that niggle, give it what it wants until it's happy and it'll go away. And that's rock and roll running for me. It's like, don't think about it. Just get out there and go for it. And you don't even need to warm up. Just go for it.
Can we ask you about your, cotton t-shirts for running in? That's quite goes against the grain, I would imagine, of most people's tastes when it comes to apparel.
Do you know what, I love a cotton t-shirt and I love a jumper. I love a woolen jumper. I just love it when you're running and you can feel your clothes getting heavier. it's like re-entry or something if you've been to space. You can just feel the effort just covering you, and I love it. I'm not one for all the high-tech kit. I'll just chuck whatever on. I did a run one week in a shirt because it was after work. I got my t-shirt. I just put a shirt on. I just went out running. I had my shorts on. I just thought, I'm running a shirt. I can't find a t-shirt. Let's go. So.
I was actually inspired by this because I read about your love of the cotton t-shirt and saying how it's like it can become this sort of tapestry for your own effort.
Yes, exactly.
And I did it last night. Went out 9 miles last night, cotton t-shirt. I felt great.
How did that work out?
Yeah, I felt good. Well, I just felt like I was in my own way doing some rock and roll running, Andy, and that felt good.
Great. Rock on.
Like, Join us.
it's like the most disgusting tie-dye imaginable. Just running in a cotton t-shirt and just like, oh, look at all that effort I've done. It's brilliant. And it's nice. Like, it's nice. I used to run in a cotton t-shirt anyway before, so.
Yeah.
Bring back cotton.
Bring back cotton.
The cotton comeback starts here.
Can you tell us a little bit about, because it's not as if, Jimmy, you've gone, right, I'm running now and I'm not doing music. You've got the Vega Bodegas, who are very good, and I'd like to play a little tune from the Vega Bodegas as well, Andy, because you're gonna. This is your kind of jam.
Right.
I sent you the heaviest one I have.
Yeah. So it's called Witchcraft, Jimmy, is that right?
A Complete History of Witchcraft,
History of Witchcraft. Right, we're going to play that now.
Yes, go on.
Complete history of witchcraft.
How do you feel after listening to that song?
I'm in my cotton t-shirt and I'm sweating buckets. But you're doing both, Jim. You got this. You know, 34, 38, 10K, and you got this great band, the Vega Bodegas. How are you kind of doing both? And do you think it's compatible?
I don't think rock and roll and running are compatible, but I think this is really cheesy. But I think happiness and happiness are compatible. So if you're happy doing one thing and you're happy doing another thing, then there you are. It's done. It's instantly compatible. Yeah. So if you've got two kind of separate lifestyles, just find the good things from each of them that make you feel good, and then you can combine them, no problem. So, like, my favourite thing about writing with a band is probably the lyrics, because out of everybody in the band, I'm probably the worst musician. I'm pretty basic. So I can leave them write as much of the music as possible, and I just go out and I think about lyrics when I'm running, and I don't listen to music at all when I'm out jogging. I work on like the rhythm of words, and you know, and it's weird what gets thrown at you on a long run. You just suddenly come back with this weird word, and I'm like, that's a cool word. That, you know, I'm trying to think of an example now, but you just experiment. And in that way, it's compatible. I think it's just finding things you like from both worlds and bringing them together.
Yeah.
Like last week, we played a festival, and I got back at 5 a.m, and I didn't run. In that way, running and rock and roll weren't compatible that day. I was just like, it was impossible. Took a day off, but, you know, yeah, it can be done. Anything can be done.
Yeah, definitely. If you're passionate about both, you'll find a way of doing it, won't you? Yeah.
Sure. Exactly.
Wise words.
And the only problem will come is if you're not really enjoying the rock and roll, you're not really enjoying the running, so they're never going to fit together. So
yeah. Tell us a bit more about this Running Punks website that you're launching, right? Is that about to launch, is that right?
It is, yeah. I believe it's launching today.
Great.
The second run of the year I did was another half marathon in Llanelli, where I live now. And after about 6 miles or so, a mate from school running, we gave each other a little high five because we went back on each other. And we used to be in a band in school together.
Right.
So we just started chatting after the race, kept in touch on Facebook. And we both had we were both running for similar reasons, really, just to sort out a few mental niggles we had, a few knots in the mind that needed to be worked out. And we were like, well, if it works for us, it should work for other people in bands or industries where kind of running doesn't fit in with the everyday lifestyle. So we started this thing, like a little idea called Running Punks, and it's basically to get people in bands out there running. If it's like after a sound check, to do a quick 20-minute jog, anything like that, just to break up the monotony of the day and just add something different to your day.
That's great. What's the website address, Jimmy?
It's runningpunks.com.
Easy
enough to remember.
Easy, yeah. So what we're doing is we've spoken to the organisers of a festival in Cardiff called Soon, which is in October, and they're gonna have like a little Running Punks morning. So all the bands will play in and invite you to come along in the morning, and we'll take them for a little run.
Great.
On the website, eventually, then we'll have like 5K loops, 10K loops from different venues in the country. So when bands turn up, like I used to say to like promoters, where can I go for a run from this venue? And they, you know, most of them wouldn't have a clue. So it'll be on the website and say, look, you can go for a 5K run from here. Here's a little map. So yeah, it's just to encourage people in industries where you don't run a lot, just to get out there and really feel the benefits of it.
No, that sounds great.
Sounds amazing.
Jimmy, thanks so much for making the time to come on the Runner's World podcast. It's absolutely brilliant to talk to you about running and rock and roll and cotton t-shirts, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, let's get more people running in a cotton t-shirt and put some sweaty pictures up. I love it.
It's started.
Not in a weird way. I just like seeing sweaty
cotton. Jimmy, thanks again.
Thanks, Jimmy.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
What a hero Jimmy is, isn't he?
Yeah, incredible. Yeah, I could listen to him all day.
You're enjoying his metaphor about being like an abandoned town.
Yeah, first time I've ever, you know, heard someone compare themselves to an old shopping centre. Amazing.
Yeah, what a good guy. Well worth following on Twitter and Instagram. We'll include the links in the show notes. So Jimmy's going to be in the upcoming issue of Runner's World, out at the end of this month. And also we're going to do an article on running hallucinations. So this is a kind of sub-genre? I don't know if that's the right word. Anyway, it happens to people who do ultra marathons after a certain amount of time, possibly through sleep deprivation and just general exhaustion. But it's pretty remarkable what some people see. They've seen, you know, rows and rows of rotisserie chickens was one hallucination. And another person saw an imaginary lawnmower and was about to turn back and tell the organisers about this lawnmower. This is on the top of a mountain. When they saw another runner run straight through the lawnmower and realised it couldn't be true. But have you ever had any of these, you know, running hallucinations? Is it something that you can sort of comprehend?
I can comprehend it, Rick, for sure. I have only done one ultramarathon, that was with you, and it didn't involve running overnight or any sleep deprivation.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So I've never been at that point where I've been so fatigued that my mind has started playing tricks on me, which is generally, as you mentioned, where these things happen. It's after running for 12 or 24 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I've fantasized in my mind about plenty of things, generally a kind of cold pint of beer towards the end of marathons, but that's something different, I think. The one kind of time I did think I was hallucinating was in the London Marathon. I was pacing the 5-hour pace group and saw Jesus, a barefoot Jesus, carrying a big, like, almost full-size wooden cross. And I blinked, and actually it wasn't a hallucination. It was genuinely there happening. And that was a pretty bizarre sight. But as for real, in quotes, running hallucinations, no, thankfully not. Maybe when I go ultra, do some bit longer ultras, they'll... How about you?
No, I was really worried about it with the North Down stuff. And I thought, like, I don't know if I would... Like, so one of these people saw severed heads, right? And was just seemed to be like, I know it's hallucination and it's fine. I don't know if I would be as cool as that. I think I might be,
you'd
I might
freak
sort of
out.
Scream, sort of DNF. Can you DNF through hallucinations?
It's mental unraveling.
Yeah. So I was really worried about it. And I think maybe because for that reason, I was very much like trying to look very assertively at things and not kind of drift off.
Focus. Being in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
I've read these things as well, and some of them are quite alarming. That combined with the kind of extreme fatigue, I just don't know how I would react, to be honest. I think I'd be like you and possibly just like start howling.
Go home. Well, how would you react to these things? Have you experienced them yourself? Let us know if you've experienced any ultra running hallucinations. podcast@runnersworld.co.uk.
So there's no Kerry or Jane this week, so Rick and I are going to deliver the running news in their absence.
Yeah, so I'll start with, on last week's episode, we talked with Robbie Britton, who gave us a preview and his predictions for the Ultra Trail de Mont Blanc, which happened on the weekend. And I think he might be the best sporting psychic since Paul the Octopus. You remember that Octopus in the World Cup, 2010 World Cup?
Uncannily accurate.
Unbelievable. Picked out Courtney DeWalter, the US runner, in the women's race, who went on to win in 24 hours, 34 minutes and 26 seconds. And Puka Pell... I hope I've pronounced that right, in the men's, who's also triumphed in 20 hours, 19 minutes and 7 seconds. Capel, who's Spanish, became the first non-French winner of the race since Kilian Jornet triumphed in 2011. Some really good British performances too. So Beth Pascal finished fifth in the women's race, and Tom Owens, in his debut at the distance, finished fourth. And just behind him was Andy Simmons in fifth. So brilliant stuff from the Brits.
Amazing efforts all round. On the roads, Alison Dixon became 50-kilometre world champion, covering the distance in a record-breaking 3 hours, 7 minutes and 20 seconds. She beating the previous time that had stood for 30 years.
Wow.
Amazing performance. Her victory also helped Great Britain and Northern Ireland to win the women's team gold medal. Dixon has previously represented Team GB in the marathon, but this was her ultra running debut. It does make you wonder what other Olympic marathoners like her could do if they stepped up to the ultra distance.
For sure.
Because this was her first attempt. She made it look easy, although I'm sure it wasn't. And if that wasn't enough, she'll be attempting to break another world record next weekend of a slightly different hue. This will be the Guinness World Record for the fastest superhero to run a half marathon. She will be racing the Great North Run dressed as Wonder Woman.
Oh, appropriate.
What an amazing effort.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad sort of fortnight's work, that, would it?
Two world records.
Yeah, well very, done. Very different. So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. I'd like to say a huge thanks to our guest, Jimmy Watkins, and to Number 8 Studios in Soho, where this was recorded.
For more news, reviews and interviews and much, much more, head over to runnersworld.com/UK. Please like and subscribe on iTunes, and thanks to Acast, our hosting partner. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.